Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. 3:04 on your Masters Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well. We will go to the update scoreboard leaderboard center coming up here in just a few moments. Big show today, man. Fired up for it. The special edition of the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoke and Hot Question. We're going to let you, yes you, the listening audience, name our new intern. And we're sticking, like, this is...
This is going to be it, brother.
This is legal.
Yeah. I think we ought to take in write-ins. Because I don't feel like we've done a very good job of workshopping this, Russ. I really don't.
Oh, we've done fine.
I say we open it up, but we do allow write-in votes.
No. You think that...
I think that you are underestimating...
That just came to you just a second ago.
No, it came to me last night, and I just remembered it because I've been so frazzled today. Here's the reasoning behind it.
Oh, God.
All right. Will you hear me out?
Yeah.
Will you hear my argument? I mean, it's not one of my crazy ideas. I feel like it's, you know, we're one of the funniest shows on in town.
It's not necessarily a compliment, you know.
I don't really care what anybody else thinks. You're missing the point here. Our listeners, some of them, are borderline comedic geniuses with stuff like this sometimes. I'm just saying, open it up. You never know. You may get just an absolute diamond of a nickname.
Well, you might get suggestions, but you'll never get enough to vote for it. We have four choices on a Twitter poll. If you had the fourth,
that's what I'm saying. I think we ought to allow for a dark horse submission.
But how will people converge on one? Like, you're not thinking of this through. What are the mechanics
of it? We're talking about branding this guy for the rest of his career, Russ. With audience participation.
Our audience is going to seize on something ridiculous like Choo Choo Tugboat. And then we can't just refer to him as Choo Choo Tugboat.
Yeah, but we could call him Tugboat Trey.
But that's what... No. Here are the four choices.
How do you feel about Tugboat?
Here are the four choices.
I feel like I should get one of the choices.
Trey, Guy, Ray, Pat.
No.
Those are the four choices.
No.
Yes, yes.
That is the lame.
This is not.
No, I will not call him by this nickname then.
You don't have to call it.
I'm
going to
call you Tugboat from now on if Russ is going to be like this.
Trey, Guy, Ray, and Pat.
Take out Ray and put in Tugboat.
These are the choices. We're not doing this anymore.
You won't even end. You won't just stop and think about it.
I've been thinking about it for an entire day,
dude. How badass would it be if this kid went by the name Tugboat?
Yes, that would be badass. That would be great.
Well, I think it would be fantastic, and I feel like you're selling. That's a fantastic nickname, Russ. You thought of it just now.
It's a good nickname. Tugboat. We're coming up with a name, an actual. We can't just call the kid New Trey forever.
Well, see, I don't think Trey should be on the board.
That's his name. We're not making up names. These are all four. His name is Trey Guy Patterson, okay? So you got Trey and Guy are two options, and then Ray is what? That's like your middle name?
Yeah,
that's one of your middle names? How many names do you have?
Trey is not my actual real name. That's just.
I mean, this is freaking me out. It's just like the last
one.
Then
why did you come in here and introduce yourself as Trey?
Let's call him Little Trey.
I've gone by Trey my whole life because I'm Guy Raymond Patterson III. Trey means three.
Yeah, okay. He's like Trey Wallace.
So
he's
you got Trey, Guy, Ray, Pat. Like these are all his names.
He's sneaky upper crust, is what this guy is.
We're narrowing it down as to we got to call this guy something. I mean, he's been here for like 3 weeks now. We can't just.
I swear to God, for me, when he's sitting over there in that chair and I'm looking over the board, it's like Little Trey Wallace over there, Little Trey. Except you're quite a bit bigger than Trey.
No, he's not. They're very,
very.
I would say they are the exact same size. As a matter of fact.
I mean, tugboat over there is. Yeah. I mean, have you met him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. All right. So those are the four names you want to go with.
We've got that coming up.
You didn't do a very good. You need to work on your sell to me on this. You're not really selling me on it.
No,
I
kind of
feel like
you've been
slightly disrespectful since I've been back in the station. I mean, if we're gonna air grievances, let's get them all out.
No. Yeah. I mean, we're 4 minutes in. You've completely hijacked the show. Sure, go ahead. I mean, I have no control over it at this point.
So I kind of feel like you've been a little disrespectful since I've been back. You kind of forgot, you know, my bona fides.
Your bona fides?
Yeah.
Listen.
I've been on this show for almost six, right. Almost, yeah.
Who brought you on this show?
Fifth year.
You want to talk about disrespect? Who brought you on this show?
You did.
Who can take you out anytime he wants?
You can.
You're damn right.
But I keep all you. I'm your damn right hand.
You want to know
how the respect. Who do you think keeps minions around here in line?
You want to know how the respect factor goes? I'll tell you how this flow chart works. 100% of the respect comes this way, right to me.
Yeah, see,
you know where 0% of it flows? Yeah, to you. That's how it works,
you're
buddy.
You're kind of like Phil Leotard.
You make me say it out loud. Phil. Don't make me say it. Don't make me say it.
I ain't going anywhere, Russ.
We have a big show lined up for you this afternoon. We have a Hurricane Gabriel warning. The CGP hits the airwaves in 11 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Christopher Gabriel of 940 ESPN Fresno joins the festivities, and he's got takes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's got takes.
This is what I wanted to ask you. I've been thinking about this question all day. I think Christopher could and probably would most days. We could have him on every single day for a segment, and he would burn it down about something in sports every day, and it would be a different topic every day. And he comes up with some
well-thought-out
hot takes.
Here's why Christopher Gabriel is my favorite guest. On, I know we've got Vitello and who do you like? Topmeyer is one of your favorites.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Topmeyer.
We've got a lot of great
Topmeyer's on the. He's on a rocket. Ride.
We have some great guests on the show. The reason I like Gabriel so much is first of all his passion. The fans love him. The audience loves him. But the other reason he's like a show producer's dream in that not only will he come on whenever and be awesome whenever, but it takes no preparation on our part because he will tell us what he wants to talk about. Like he's been texting us all week. He has takes on Josh Heupel and how he relates to the media. He has takes on the Lady Vols and what's going on with that program. He has takes on what the expectations should be for Richard Dale Barnes. And he's just texting this to me and Bear just constantly, like all the time. So I don't even have to sit around and think about, okay,
it's
we've
the
got
funniest
this guy
text
coming
group
on.
I'm in.
What do I have to talk about? What do I need to ask him about? Where do I want to steer this conversation? I don't have to do any of that. And he was texting me earlier today. It's funny. I went to lunch with an advertiser in Houston Crest, and I forgot my phone.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which sucks. And so I had no phone for over 2 hours, which if you're in any sort of business, you know – it's naked. I feel like 3 days passed in the time that I went to lunch. All the stuff, the texts and messages and calls I missed.
Me and Trey are well aware of
Gabriel
what happens
was getting
with you and your
phone. He was getting kind of pissy. I'm going to say a little bit because he had texted something about like, what do we want to talk about? And I had my phone. And so I come back to Christopher Gabriel being like, Earth to Russ, Earth to Russ. Like, what are, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't have my phone. He wasn't getting pissy. I'm just, he's probably.
No, it was funny. And I was sitting there. I just had, everybody knows what's going on with me. I had a treatment this morning. So I really couldn't text back. And I saw it coming in. And he's a funny dude, man. And his takes are always just like, he just digs into them. But yeah, you're right, Trey. This text group is like Christopher's are really long, and you know, me and Sundance over there.
Sundance,
but you'd say we weren't
what?
We weren't responding back a whole
Sundance.
Lot.
Sundance.
Yeah, you're the sidekick. You're my sidekick.
I'm your sidekick.
Yeah.
Now. Oh, okay. Sundance?
Butch and Sundance.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah.
I was like, man, bearing these nicknames.
No.
Anyway. So we got to match we got to raise our intensity to match CG coming up here in just a minute. Right now, can we lower the intensity? Just a little bit, Bear.
Just a little bit?
Hold on just a second. Can we lower the intensity? Because it is time. For a tradition like none other. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Masters. We go to Augusta where, it is a snake jam on top of the leaderboard. See, maybe if you'd spend a little bit less time criticizing me and my choices for the way we
this
start
is
the
exactly
show,
what
you
would
have the Masters
to.
Theme music that I asked for like 3 days ago. You've had 3 days. And that's... Thank you. You had 3 days to get this ready, Bear. I mean, good Lord. Where's the respect? Why do you respect me? Christopher Gabriel, where's the phone? You left your phone... It's Master's Day, and you don't even have the stupid music. I mean, really?
If you scream at me one more time, I'm cutting the music.
You think, John, I don't even remember what his name is. Jim Nance has to put up with this kind of stuff. People at CBS.
He's done the Masters.
I bet you they have his damn
with
music
Vern
when he calls for it.
18 years now.
You shut the hell up and let me do my my leaderboard here.
Okay, I'm going with the segment.
Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama, Mark Leishman, tied atop the leaderboard, 3-under par today at Augusta. Like Rick Barnes, they'll never let you down. Like Tony Vitello storming out of the gates. He's at the top of the leaderboard. Host of players tied at 2-under. Will Zalatoris in the clubhouse with a 2-under 70. Christian Bezuidenhout. Bezuidenhout. South African. These South Africans had simple to pronounce names like Gary Player back in the day. Now we've got Christian Bezuidenhout. Webb Simpson also at 2-under par today at the Masters. Brilliant show lined up for you this afternoon. We'll talk about Tennessee football practice, an open practice coming up Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee's own house of horrors, where for going on 13 years now, the Vols have sucked out loud. Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Dooley. One loser after the next.
Lane Kiffin.
Will Josh Heupel take his place in this long line of illustrious losers? Or will he turn out to be the rare hire that knows his ass from a hole in the ground? We'll find out in due time, I suppose. Danny No Nugs. Opening up the gates for Tennessee fans. How about this, Danny? You build Tony Vitello a new baseball stadium. How about that? You think you can manage that? It's not like we ask for a lot. Keep our baseball coach happy. No. No Nugs. You let that guy walk, you might have the torches lit, pitchforks hoisted at a local Walmart. Oh, we'll burn a few couches, Danny. Don't test us. Don't test us. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this! Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russ LeBaire, pleased to be joined by our good friend Christopher Gabriel of 940 ESPN Fresno. CG, what's up, man?
Gentlemen, it is great to be here. Good to talk to Bear, and just great to hear his voice. We talked a little bit about, you know, what he's going through. Told him I'm a person of faith, lit a candle for him in my church. He's going to come out of this great. We all know that. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm disappointed hearing you went to a meeting without your phone. That's like walking out of the house without your underwear, man.
It was terrible, man. I realized halfway to my meeting that I did not have my phone, and I was like, I had this moment. I literally broke out in a sweat of anxiety, trying to figure out, should I just go home and get it and be 10 minutes late? And then, but I had like a coworker was meeting an advertiser that he didn't know, so I didn't want them, like two guys who didn't know each other, having that awkward thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go without the phone. And like, this was, we used to do this all the time, Chris. You're our age. Yes. I mean, we didn't have cell phones. And now you go somewhere without your phone, and it feels like you're flying blind. Like you're missing one of your five senses. That's what it feels like.
I feel that, man. The first time I ever called a sports talk show, I was driving back. I was living in New York City. I was driving back from Montreal to New York. I went to a Rangers-Canadians game in the old Forum. And to get on the show, I had to stand there at a phone booth. It was raining, and I'm putting quarters and dimes and nickels in. The kids today, they don't know. They don't understand that. They look at a phone booth. They think it's like there's something in the Smithsonian.
They don't know the struggle is real, Christopher.
No. They don't. So. And by the way, I forget which one it is, which one of your listeners. I love your listeners. Hello, East Tennessee, man. It's great to be with you. But there's someone who always says, don't forget about Bear. I've never forgotten about Bear. I don't know why. Where did that start?
Oh, that started with me. It did, because when you had Russ and Trey on, and neither one of them mentioned to me, I just saw it on Twitter, and it was kind of like, huh. What's missing out of this this puzzle
it's
here?
It's a little touchy. Don't forget about Bear.
Well, see, and I didn't realize, Christopher, that your show isn't, you know, like super caller driven like ours was. So as soon as I heard them on there, I started hitting your all's number out there in Fresno.
Yeah,
because I was going to come on and roast them for not having me on with him.
Your audience would have loved that too, right, Chris? I mean, some guy from East Tennessee calling in to roast some other guys from East Tennessee who nobody in Fresno has ever heard of. That would have been, I mean, like ratings magic.
It would work right for Powell Feinbaum, Christopher. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you know, Russ from Knoxville, Bear, you know, from Knoxville. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, we're not as caller-driven as you guys are. I started in radio and news talk, and we couldn't take enough calls. This area is much more sit back, glass of lemonade or a beverage, and listen. Heaven knows why they want to keep listening to me, but they do, so I'm not going to argue.
Christopher Gabriel with us here this afternoon on The Drive. All right, Chris has takes, too, as always. And Chris, let's start with Tennessee basketball. You were texting with me at Bear earlier some interesting thoughts on Rick Barnes, and when you hear a coach talk about the ceiling, oh, we just want to compete from game to game. Oh, we want to win our conference championship. We want to go to the playoff. We want to do whatever. What should, at this point, 6 years in, Rick Barnes, he's already won a conference championship. He basically lives in the NCAA tournament at this point. What's the goal here? What are we doing? What is the ceiling, and what should be the stated objective of any Rick Barnes Tennessee basketball season from here on out?
Well, let's separate this into its basic components. And if I run on too long, just jump in and tell me to shut up. what I want to hear from Rick Barnes, listen, let's get the obligatory components out of the way, right? He's a good man. He's a decent man. My tone doesn't belie the truth. He's a good and decent man. He's going to be a Hall of Famer if he isn't already. I don't know if he is or not. 34 years in coaching, the man can coach. Having said that, I want to hear Rick Barnes say, we are going to win a national championship. Put yourself out there and say it. He has coached 34 years as a head coach, 34 years. George Mason, Providence, Clemson, Texas, Tennessee. He has been to 25 NCAA tournaments. In those 25 tournaments, gentlemen, he has lost in the first or second game 18 of those times. He has gotten to one Final Four and two Elite Eights. In those 34 years, in the regular season, he has won first place or tied for first a grand total of four times. Now, I'm not saying Rick Barnes can't coach. He can, but I believe the ceiling has been reached for Rick Barnes. And if you don't have to take my, listen to me, you look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. How do you have Kevin Durant at Texas and not at least win the thing or get to the final? How do you have a Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield team and basically not find your way to the Final Four? There's just something that doesn't click. And I just wonder, I saw the video the other day, and I'm sure that you and Bear did as well, of Nick Saban coming out and saying, to kind of pare this down, he had to rethink and evolve his offensive philosophy. And he realized that, you know what, it's okay if I have to score 60 to beat a team because offenses are that good, defenses haven't caught up. As it applies to Rick Barnes, do any of us believe that after 34 years, Rick Barnes is going to evolve to a point where he's going to say, you know what, I believe in suffocating defense. We have to have guys playing defense. Man, I'm with you. Absolutely. But Tennessee offensively looks dead when they get into the half court. When they sweep the boards, when you have a team with guys like Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, Josiah Jordan James, man, they should be out running. They should be out filling the lanes. I don't care if it's a three-on-three. You have guys who know how to create. And instead, let's just walk it up the damn court and get into the half-court set to watch somebody launch a brick from three. Play to the guy's strengths. So my issue with Coach Barnes, not that he can't coach, not that he's not a good guy. I'm sure he's wonderful. I'm sure if we saw him in a bar in Knoxville, he'll buy you a bag of wings. I'm sure he'll do that. But as a coach, is he going to evolve, Russ, Bear? I don't think he is, and I think the ceiling has been met. I really do.
That's where I'm at. I think that's where Bear's at. I think that's where a lot of people are at. But
he's the guy that is still holding on to, lining up with two tight ends, a fullback, and a tailback in college football. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we do with that?
He's a full step behind offensively, behind the evolution.
He is. And Bear, I think I heard you say what. Because let's be clear, I am always listening to Bear. I am not ignoring Bear.
Everybody needs to leave you alone.
I think Bear said, what are we to do? And, Bear, I think that is the question, right? That's the salient point. Because when you look at a guy that has won over 700 games, he has a .653 winning percentage or thereabouts, the thought of saying we need to go in a different direction for many is ludicrous. But we have to decide, we meaning Tennessee, what are you shooting for? What is the goal? Is the goal to win 18 to 24 games a year, do well, gosh darn it, go out and do well in the SEC tournament? Don't win the tournament. No, that's too much. Don't win the tournament. Win a couple of games, tease the fans, but then let the Kentuckys and the Alabamas and the Floridas, let the real teams, and I'm saying that facetiously, let them win the thing. And then we'll get the balls to the tournament, and they'll win a game. Nah, maybe they won't win a game. Nah, maybe they'll win two games. Maybe they'll get to a Sweet 16. They've been to two. I mean, Barnes in his career has been to, as I said, one Final Four, two Elite Eights. What is the goal? Because if the goal is to win a lot of games and do well enough, well, that's great. That's great because that's what they root for at Missouri. That's what they root for at Mississippi State. That's what they root for in Kentucky football. But at Tennessee, a stadium that seats about 20,000 and over 25 years, not including the COVID year, Tennessee has been top 20, top 15, top 10 in 23 of those 25 years, and many of those years, they've been top 5 or top 10 in attendance. You have a rabid fan base. I'm part of it. You're part of it. And yet they seem to shoot for, not the penthouse, but if it's a 30-floor building with the 30th floor being the penthouse, hey, fellas, let's go for 22. Let's go for the 22nd floor. An unpopular take when Phil Fulmer was coach. God bless the man. He brought a national championship to Knoxville. But I always heard Coach Fulmer saying, you know, down here we're gonna look for winning an SEC East title and then an SEC title. That's great. That's great, Coach. Except the guy in Gainesville at the time, Spurrier, was talking about winning national championships. That's what we want to do here. We're going to win national championships. I want to hear Tennessee coaches saying, I want to win a national championship. That's what I want to hear.
It's almost like if you work in sales and everybody has a sales goal, you've got to hit 10 grand a month, 15 grand a month, 30 grand, yeah, whatever your goal is, you always want to put it a little bit higher than you know is realistic of getting, you know, 10, 15% higher than you know you're going to get. Because then, okay, you're striving for that goal. You don't make it. You're still pretty good. You're in an acceptable range. If my goal is 20 grand in sales a month and I hit 17, 18, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. I technically didn't hit. But if your goal is 17 or 18, you're going to come up a little bit short, right? You've got to shoot for, if your goal is the national championship and you only make it to a Final Four, you come up a little bit short. Yeah, you technically came up short, but that is a great season. We've never been to a Final Four. We would all love to have that kind of a season.
Fellas, I guess the question, because you guys are from down there, I have family there. I've never lived in Tennessee. Lord knows I can't count the amount of times that I've been in Thompson Bowling and in Neyland, and for that matter, Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I've been to so many events, and I guess the question that I would have for you growing up with Tennessee is, what do you think the ceiling should be for Tennessee basketball? Because, fellas, what was the ceiling 20 years ago for Gonzaga? What is the ceiling for Gonzaga now? What was the ceiling when John Calipari was at UMass? When Memphis was making a rise? I know I don't want to use the N-word on the station, but the fact is, Tennessee has the fan base, the resources, the location, the conference, the TV exposure. They have everything in place, and they have a coach who knows how to win games. What do you think the ceiling should be for Tennessee basketball, fellas?
You've convinced me. I've been saying for years now that I just want to go to a Final Four because that's something we've never done. I'd be happy with that. But based off what you said, what I just said, I think the goal should be a national championship. That should be the stated goal. Let's win it all. And then, as I said, if we come up a little bit short, you go to a Final Four, that's fine. That's a good first step in that direction. But I'm changing my marker as of today to national championship. Not a Final Four should not just be good enough.
Here's my thoughts on it. Yeah. Coach Barnes has everything. He has every tool, financial support, everything. He's also got one of the top three point guards that played here, runs one of the best AAU programs in the South, and is just putting, you know, kids off his AAU teams, developing them into high major Division I, Power Five schools. So he's got all these advantages. So I'm with you and Russ now.
Let me ask you both this, Bear, Russell, help me out here. What was Coach Barnes making before the extension? Was it 1.8, 1.5, something like that?
I think it might have been around 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 2.1. Now, what is he making now? Make about 5?
5.
All right. When you're making 5 large, this ain't cutting it. All right. When you're making two million a year, 18 to 22, 23 wins, hey, we are happy for you. Way to go, Coach. We're going to give you a lifetime contract. When you are in the 5 million range, when you are making 5 big ones, you better be making bigger results, because if they're going to give you that kind of dough, you better produce. And for my money, round of 64, round of 32, round of 64, round of 32, the occasional round of 16, that ain't good enough for Tennessee basketball. Not when your head coach 700 plus wins or not, is making $5 million a year. That isn't good enough. I'm sorry. And I know that there are people listening say, well, you know what? Listen, everybody can't win it all. Yeah, I get all that. I get all that. But as Bear just said, the resources, everything is in place for him to be successful. No different than Josh Heupel now with football. And Josh has come out and made it very clear. What don't we have in Knoxville that is preventing us from getting to the college football playoff? That answer is one word, nothing. Nothing at all.
Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN Fresno with us this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Christopher, another topic, speaking of Josh Heupel, you really like some of the things he's saying, some of the ways he's saying these things, particularly when it pertains to player development here in Knoxville. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I really do. I think that we would all agree that one of the typical coachisms from too many coaches is always letting everybody know how annoyed they are. Pruitt forever seemed annoyed and just disgusted with guys in practice, and he let everybody know about it. And that's all well and good, but Tennessee football has had those guys coming out and acting that way for too long. Josh Heupel's coming out, and he's going the other way. He's using some key words: fun, family, brotherhood. We see video of him and the team playing dodgeball. These are great things. That is not to be confused with some kind of soft coach, because he's not a soft coach. He is lighting up scoreboards, as we all know. He knows how to get the job done. I saw a quote of his saying this: I would never use the word satisfied or completely happy with any position when you're 5 days into spring ball, but I like the purpose that those guys are playing with, and they're starting to trust in what we're doing. And what I'm digging about what I'm seeing is he understands that this team's and this program's collective and individual psyche has been taking a beating. It's taken a beating locally from fans. It's taken a beating from the SEC. And it's taken a beating nationally from national pundits. And a lot of that has been earned, because Tennessee every year seems to, not every year, but good too many years, seems to be a talk of the town. They're going to be good this year. They're going to be good. And when Tennessee isn't good, everybody has a field day at their expense. And the coaching staffs, in particular Pruitt, fed that. They fed that like throwing raw meat to sharks in a tank. And what I'm really liking is that he is empowering players to do better. He's talking about players in a positive sense. And listen, not Pop Warner football, I get all that, but sometimes guys need to be built up. You guys and I know that behind closed doors, he's probably chewing some people when they're not producing, but he's being so smart. We're seeing why players in Orlando loved him, because he's a guy that is saying, you're a great receiver, you're a great running back, you've got a great arm as our quarterback, I'm going to put you in a position to do the things that you do well, the reasons that we brought you here, and we're going to have some fun. Why shouldn't players want to have fun? I have a 17 and 14 year old daughters. They're both in cheer, they're both dancers, they've both been in gymnastics. My younger one has played softball, basketball, and they are at their very best, just as anybody who's a parent listening to me, when their kids are playing, when they're having fun. Having fun doesn't mean you don't want to beat the hell out of the person across the line of scrimmage or slam over somebody and make a poster out of them. But you got to have fun. And that's what I really like, what I'm seeing out of Josh Heupel, that he's talking about this fun family brotherhood attitude, and players are buying into it. Because you know what, fellas? I think the players have lacked this for too long. Somebody listening to me right now might say, yeah, well, what about Nick Saban? What about him? When you listen, I went back and looked at a lot of the things that Nick Saban has said over the years in spring practice, and he does not forget to compliment guys who are doing well. He'll point out things that are going wrong, but he is building guys up. And this is something that Josh Heupel understands. Is it going to win him more games? I don't know. But is it going to have guys playing to the best that they can do? I think so. And I am absolutely convinced for the first time in years that this program may well be going in the right direction under this head coach.
The right direction. I don't even know which direction that is anymore. I don't even know what that feels like. How would we know? How would we know?
Yeah.
All we can do is hope as we visit with Christopher Gabriel this afternoon. All right, Chris, last topic we'll let you hit before we let you run here. Women's basketball we talk about expectations and what should be the expectations for Rick Barnes's program. What about Kelly Harper? You know, she's got the program in the tournament. They're competitive. They had a huge win against number one South Carolina in the regular season this year. But this is a sport that we practically invented, Christopher. I know it's different now. It's evolved. There's more competition. But what should the expectations be going forward for Lady Vol basketball?
I've said this on a number of occasions that I forever in this career will feel blessed that the first big interview that I had was with Pat Summitt. So much so in terms of how it went that she had, through one of her communications people at UT, invited me to come down to a couple of practices. I think about Tennessee basketball and I think about Pat Summitt and I think about Pat looking down on this, and Pat, you can hear her. Offense sells tickets, you know, rebounding wins games, defense wins championships.
Yep.
And this team, this program should be shooting for nothing less than championships. You're right, Russell. You're right that the sport has evolved. There are more teams now. I mean, now you have South Carolina and Mississippi State as power teams. Vandy used to be in the conference. They're not now. Notre Dame is good every year. UConn, the monolith up in Storrs, Connecticut. And boy, I shed a tear when they lost. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Just whatever. But this program, Kelly Harper would not have been my choice because I get it, keeping it in the family. She was a wonderful player to watch when she was there. I had my doubts about her. They did have a big win against South Carolina this year, but the expectation should not be making the tournament every year. It should be winning national championships. And when you are Tennessee, when they bring young ladies, talented 4- and 5-star recruits into Thompson Bowling Arena, fellas, I don't know if you've been to Pauley Pavilion, but at Pauley, they don't hang other banners. There's no regional banners. There's no first-round win banners. It's 11 banners that are the championship banners plus the one AIAW-UCLA women's banner up there. That's it. And when a kid walks down the long corridor with all the NCAA trophies and nets and pictures of Wooden and back then Lou Alcindor, Bill Walton, and so on, Curtis Rowe, Sidney Wicks, who are they seeing? What are they seeing when they walk in the court? They have those all lit up for the recruits. When recruits come into Thompson Bowling Arena, they should have everything dark in there except the scoreboard with the kid's name on it and those banners lit up. And somebody should point out to that talented 4- or 5-star, if you're coming here, we're looking to win that. We expect to win that. That is the goal. Anything less is not acceptable because, yeah, you're right. Pat Summitt comes out of UT Martin and practically invents the sport at UT. They 8 national championship banners. I'm sorry, but they should be shooting for the moon every time. It makes me nuts that they've dropped off. But be that as it may, Kelly Harper, I would give her some time. Give her a little bit of time because they had a decent year this year, but man, they got to find some players to shoot. They've got to find some players that know how to shoot the basketball, because when you watch UConn, when you watch Baylor, when you watch Stanford, when you watch these teams, Oregon out here, they know how to shoot the damn ball. And Tennessee it is Brick City, baby. That's what it is. So shoot for titles, Russ Barrett. That's what they should be doing.
That's the big takeaway from this conversation. Christopher, we could go on and on about that for hours, really, but we are out of time. Always appreciate you, Christopher Gabriel, at CG Program on Twitter. Check him out, 940ESPNFresno.com. You can listen to him streaming there. What do we have coming up on the CG Program today?
We got a huge program. We have Alyssa Charleston coming on. She is the content creator for Gonzaga Men's Basketball. She was out in Indiana covering this whole thing, so we're going to get an up-close view from her there. We have a softball pitcher, Haley Dolcini. All she has done this year is thrown 4 no-hitters for Fresno State, nationally ranked Fresno State. 4 of those, of those 4 no-hitters, fellas, 2 of them were perfect games. This past weekend, her line was 2 no-hitters, 30 strikeouts. She can pretty much take anybody to town. She's unbelievable. Marty Lentz coming on from KOA News Radio in Denver. We'll talk with him about the NCAA tournament. And the color analyst for Fresno State men's basketball, Coach Mark Q. Jones, he'll be coming on. Lots of hoops today, fellas. Lots of hoops.
Check it out. 940 ESPNFresno.com, the Christopher Gabriel Program. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, fellas. I always appreciate the invite, and all the very best to the great folks out in East Tennessee.
See you, Chris.
Christopher Gabriel has left the building.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Another stellar appearance on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III, 865-558-8030, online at g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back with your phone calls. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell and Bear back with you. Let's go right to the phones here. Folks are already piling up on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Willie is up first today. Hello, Willie.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bubsy, I got to take my hat off to you. That guy right there, of all the talk shows I listen to in the Knoxville area, that guy is the best host anybody has. He calls it like it is.
He's something else, isn't he?
Oh, he sounds just like it. I know better. I think he's my illegitimate son. The way he ripped Barnsley to shreds. Wasn't that cool?
Well, what's cool about it is the way he rips it without ripping. He rips him in a gentle way, right? He's not calling for anybody's head. He's just saying, come on,
no,
man.
He points out the facts.
Let's set the goals as high as they possibly can be, because that's a realistic goal here. And let's zero in on that as our focus. And that will lead to good things. We are not doing a good enough job right now of stating what exactly the goal is.
And what I know, his last name's Gabriel. What's his first name again?
Christopher.
And what? Now, what's he do out there in Sacramento?
He's a radio host.
In Fresno, he's on. He's on an ESPN affiliate. Is it AM 960?
940.
940. Sorry.
So he's basically just a talk show host, right?
Just a talk show host.
I mean, no.
I don't like your tone, Willie. No. Put a little respect on his name.
No. His resume's thick. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if he might be a sports writer for a certain paper or
no.
Or
I know that he calls. I'm
play-by-play guy or what?
Like calls hockey. He's knows a ton about sports.
He's a hell of like a common sense guy that can spot a fake Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Yeah, but he doesn't say it like that. He just points out, you know, the he does it in a professional way without, you know, being ugly.
Hey, guys, on stuff coming out of I know it's hard to get excited about Tennessee football, but you know who I'm excited to see play? And glad to see that this coaching staff's already recognizing his talent, and that's old Biggie Smalls.
He's kind of, you're talking about Jabari Small, the running back.
Yeah, Biggie Smalls.
He's kind of almost inherited. We don't have any running back. Like the two guys ahead of him took off. The guy we brought in from JUCO, who's very highly touted, is injured, can't stay on the field. The other guy probably should be playing tight end, if we're being honest about it, and
Malachi.
The other two should be playing linebacker. So he's like the only guy we got.
I think this guy's going to be excellent. I really do.
That's why I don't understand. Was it Gump or Heupel that pulled the kid that started off at Webb School here in Knoxville and then ended up, I think, at Macaulay, running back, really good running back.
Oh, talk about Elijah.
Yeah, that makes me even more furious about that whole debacle. How nice would it be? Because I watched that kid since he was 14. He's a real deal.
And yeah, they pulled his offer, mm-hmm. And now here we are with only basically one or two running backs.
Yeah, I think it was Pruitt.
I think we'll be fine there. I do think Jabari Small is and probably like a good fit for what Heupel wants to do as far as being shifty, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and do all that type of stuff. He seems to have a good head on his shoulders and everything. I think that the guy who really messed up, I think some other stuff was going on, Eric Gray. I think he might have been caught up in the Jeremy Pruitt, Brian Niedermeyer nonsense. But Ty Chandler, I think, would have been really good in this offense And I wonder if he, much like JT Schrout, is kind of kicking himself. Like, well, if I knew you were going to hire Josh Heupel, I would have stuck around. But they didn't.
Well, when it comes to Chandler, I don't think he is. How many years has he got left? Just one?
Yes.
We'll go somewhere like North Carolina where you can win instead of sticking around here. Because I don't care how good a job Josh Heupel does this year, we're not going to win.
Oh, you don't know.
And I think North Carolina's got a chance to be pretty damn good.
I think we have a chance to be just as good as North Carolina, which is kind of a sad statement, but that's where we are, and that's Jeremy Pruitt's fault. So it'll be interesting to see. That's where he went, right? Ty Chandler went to North Carolina? Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the other just last thing about Howard, Howard's a perfect running back for Heupel's system. I mean, he is.
The kid from McCauley?
Yeah. That's what he – I mean, everybody – it's that high-flying spread offense, and that's how they kind of – they would – were really good about scheming him up to get Howard to draw the slowest linebacker of whoever they were playing.
Yeah.
And – they would get him into space and mismatches, and then once that kid gets catches the ball out in space, hey, two cuts and he's gone. You ain't catching him. So anyhow,
I tell you, you know what, guys? I would love to hear the backstory of how we lucked into getting Rodney Garner, because I think that could really be the piece that could really help Heupel make it.
Willie, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. We'll get into that on the other side. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.